Good morning. You know, one of the things that I really like about being a Catholic is that we don't really fit into any particular political party. You know what I mean? And where this especially comes out is our teaching on life, the pro-life movement. Because what I like to confuse people sometimes. You know, I'll stand up here sometimes and I'll preach how we need to outlaw the death penalty, and everyone says, bleeding heart, liberal, Democrat. And then I get up here and I preach about, you know, how we need to prohibit any kind of embryonic stem cell destruction, and people say, right wing, Republican. Or I get up here and I preach on how we need to treat immigrants humanely and how we need to end wars, and people say, the Democrat. And I'm going to get up here and preach today about abortion, and lest you all think I'm a Republican, please know that I am a registered independent. And the reason why I'm going to preach on this today is yesterday, of course, was the 38th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion in America, 38 years ago yesterday. And tomorrow, of course, is the March for Life, where thousands of young people will come and march to the Supreme Court and peacefully protest and pray that this decision may one day be overturned. But like I said, when it comes to pro-life, there are so many different ways of being pro-life, and of course we can't pick and choose. We can't be anti-abortion and for the death penalty, for instance. And we can't be pro-choice and, you know, whatever else. We have to be the same across the board. We have to be pro-life in every facet. Now, that being said, this does not mean that all of the various pro-life issues are all equal and all the same, because they're not. And just to make my point, I'm going to share with you some numbers. And you will see from these numbers that abortion takes more lives than any war ever has, than the death penalty ever has. And I'm just going to share with you these numbers. And by the way, these numbers are completely accessible online. The Alan Guttmacher Institute does a lot of the research for Planned Parenthood, and they report all of these numbers. Anyone can access them, as well as the Center for Disease Control. But let me share with you these numbers. Since the legalization of abortion in America 38 years ago yesterday, 51 million abortions have been performed in the United States alone. Again, that's in the United States alone, only within the past 38 years, and those are the ones that have been reported. Okay? Now, what that comes out to per year, what that comes out to per year is 1.2 million per year. Per day, that comes out to 3,288. And per hour, 137. Think about that. This 1 hour that you will spend in church today, roughly 137 humans will be murdered in this 1 hour. Again, roughly, because these numbers don't take into account, of course, higher times when abortions are done or lower times, but per hour, 137 roughly. You know, in this gospel today, at the end of the gospel, Jesus has some very straight, strong, no two ways about it words for us. And this is the beginning of his public ministry. It says, you know, and of course we're in the beginning of ordinary time. This is the beginning of the gospel. And it says right at the end of the gospel, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that's what we need to do. We need to go out into the world as Christ himself did and simply proclaim that message of repentance. And I want to say something about this because, you know, as important as it is that we work to change this particular Supreme Court decision, and as much as if we do one day change this decision, I'm sure the numbers will drastically decrease, but let's be honest, if people want to have an abortion, they're still going to be able to have an abortion. It'll just be illegal. So yes, we should work to change the law, and so I certainly hope that you will all pray for the success of the march tomorrow, and if you're able to come, I know we have a big contingent from the parish taking a bus up tomorrow morning. If you can come, please come. But at the end of the day, it's not just about changing the laws. At the end of the day, it's about changing hearts. And that's what the Lord is telling us. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when we go out and we tell people to repent, it cannot be done with a sense of arrogance, with a sense of I'm holier than you. It cannot be done with hatred. It must be done with love. And this is why. If we believe what we say we believe, and what do we pray in the Our Father? Thy will be done. If we want what God wants, which we should, what does God want? God wants each and every person he's ever made to be in heaven with him forever, right? That's what God wants. And if we want what God wants, then we should want that too. And that includes people who have had abortions. That includes abortionists who kill these 137 people per hour. That includes people like Osama bin Laden. That includes someone like Dr. Leroy Carhart. You may have heard recently in the news. He's one of the only third trimester, late-term abortionists in the country, and he just moved to Maryland, to our state. Why? Because he got kicked out of Nebraska, where he had been performing these late-term abortions, because they changed their laws, thank God. But he found a home in Maryland. God wants him saved, too. And since God does want all of these people saved, this is why our proclamation must be done with love. People aren't going to convert if we beat them over the head with hate and with just slogans. It's a matter of converting hearts. Now, that doesn't mean we can't be forceful in our proclamation. We should be, but it must always be in love. And I want to just touch on the second reading, too, because what does St. Paul say in that second reading that we heard, the first letter to the Corinthians? He says, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that all of you agree in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. How does this relate? Well, you know, just a few days ago, I was looking online at the Episcopalian Church's website. They had some photos up of a recent general convention that they had. And I was flipping through these photos online, and they were trying to make this point of, look at how diverse we are. And they had photos of these different booths that were all set up at the convention. There's this one booth, and it said, Episcopalians for Life. I thought, that's great, you know. And then they have another booth, Episcopalians for Choice. And again, this point they were trying to prove was, look how diverse we are. We welcome everyone in our church. I'm thinking, that's not diversity. That's exactly what St. Paul's railing against. Is that agreeing in what you say? Is that, you know, let there be no divisions among you, that you may be united in the same mind and in the same purpose? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing on particularly, you know, one branch of Protestantism, because this is kind of the story of Protestantism, because guess what? When no one's Pope, everyone's Pope. And you have this kind of disunity. Thank God we belong to the Catholic Church. Certainly not through any of our own merit, but thank God that there is this church that Christ founded, and that he said the gates of hell will never prevail against her, and that when he founded this church on the apostles, he gave to the apostles the keys to the kingdom, and he said, whatever you bind on heaven, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Thank God we have this central teaching authority. Thank God our church is unequivocally pro-life in every single way that that means. But this needs to be part of our proclamation. We need to be united. There is certainly strength in numbers. We need to be united in our purpose. And again, it needs to be in love. It cannot be motivated by hate. It cannot be motivated by fear. It has to be motivated by love, by wanting what God wants, which is that everyone be saved. And just to conclude here, you know, this gospel that we just heard, it quoted the first reading that we heard. The first reading was from Isaiah the prophet. And in the gospel, it says that what was said through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, that the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. that those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, a light has risen. Brothers and sisters, don't we live in a land overshadowed by death? Again, I gave you the numbers. We who live in that land overshadowed by death need to go out into the world, and we need to proclaim, as Christ proclaims, this very basic message. And there's a sense of urgency to this message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.